Good morning. It is good to see you all here this morning. It's been a while standing up here preaching God's word, but I've been teaching Bible study on Wednesdays and it's been great. I've been getting to know those coming to Bible study and we've been having lots of fun. And I pray that this morning we'll have some fun too. Okay. As you all know, I am a very, very shy preacher. Did I say something wrong? Okay, scratch that then. This morning, I want to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 19. 25. Can that light be turned down? I'm sorry, I have a problem with my eyes and too much light just, you know, the focus should be on Christ anyway, right? Not on me, right? So if that light over there can be turned down, if it can't, don't worry about it. I will still preach God's word. I am going to be reading from the New American Standard. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen. Message titled, Access Granted, Heed the Call. Access Granted. The call. As Easter approached this year, 2011, Beijing's crackdown on all forms of dissent expanded to include a renewed assault on the right of Christians to worship freely. Authorities in the capital prevented the prosperous Xu Wang congregation from occupying premises it bought to hold services. So the house church, as such unofficial groups are known, prayed outside. That led the police to detain the pastor and many of the faithful over the last two Sundays. Religious persecution is always abhorrent. China, Christians in China, are facing persecution. They can't worship freely. But we are in a nation, We are in a nation that worships freely. And many of us take this for granted. But in China, they are worshiping and the government is cracking down on people, including Christians, and have taken away their house of worship, so they stand outside to pray. And when they do that, they are arrested. They are facing persecution in China and many other places. The writer of Hebrews writes to encourage such people not to give up. And ladies and gentlemen, I do not know what you are going through. But this one thing I know, that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is able to see you through. He may not take it away. Like Paul prayed three times. Lord, take it away. Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. God may not take away what it is that you are going through. But ladies and gentlemen, I am here this morning by the authority of Christ Jesus our Lord to let you know that Jesus is in it with you. And he's going to see you through. The writer of Hebrews encourages the Christians. And he starts with the word, therefore. And so, because there is a therefore, we must know why therefore is therefore. And so, what has the writer said? The writer says, since the law and the sacrifice can't deliver us from sin, since we have been saved through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all, since he by one offering has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, since he has written his laws on our hearts and minds. Therefore, beloved, these are beloved people of the writer of Hebrews. Therefore, beloved, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. These he was writing to were very familiar with the Old Testament mode of religion, where the high priest had to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year, and only once a year, because if he decided to enter any other time, guess what? He was going to die. And so it was only once and once a year. And even that, he did it with fear and trembling because of who God was and who God still is today. And so, they were very familiar with that. But you see, the writer of Hebrews is telling them that Jesus is superior to everything. Jesus is superior to that mode of worship. Jesus is superior to the sacrifices that was made. Jesus is superior to Moses, Melchizedek, all those Old Testament people that God used mightily. Jesus is superior to all of them. Above all, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away the sin of anyone forever. But when Jesus came and Jesus died on the cross, his blood washed away and still washes away anyone who would repent of their sins and put their hope, their trust, and confidence in him. The blood of Christ is very important because that is what washes us clean and saves us from the wrath of God. Because you see, the wrath of God, the Bible says, is against all disobedience. The wrath of God is against every sin of man. The wrath of God is against all those who have not put their trust in Jesus. And there is nothing we can do to get to God. Now, I can guarantee you that nobody in this room likes pain. If you do love pain, you and I will have to do some counseling. But none of us like pain. None of us like to suffer. Every one of us wants to enjoy life. Even including the fact that when we die, we don't want to suffer. But you see, the Bible has stated clearly that if we don't put our hope and our trust in this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the wrath of God is against us and our destination is to be in hell, to suffer forever. But the blood of Jesus, the work of Jesus on the cross, the Bible says Jesus is the one, the perfect man that God had to send to come and die for us. Because, ladies and gentlemen, only man could save man. And that is why God became man. God took on the form of man. So that he would die and he was the perfect sacrifice. Because he was without sin. And so that God was pleased with the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. And that is why we can trust and put our hope and our confidence in him. Therefore, holy brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place. What is this confidence? You see, like I said before, there seemed to be terror, even for the high priest, as he entered into... Michael, don't laugh. As he entered into the Holy of Holies, there was terror, there was fear. But the writer of Hebrews is saying that because of all that Jesus did for us, we can come with confidence. We can enter God's presence with confidence. The word confidence has to do with being able to talk freely because of a certain familial relationship that we have. And so because of what Christ has done for us, we have now, if you have trusted in Christ, we are now part of the family of God. And therefore, holy brethren, as much as you are suffering, because many of us have heard about how Nero, during his time, would even sometimes burn Christians to light up the garden. How Christians during that time, some of these were during this time, how Christians will be chased, captured, put in the Colosseum, and the animals would tear them to pieces. And people were around just laughing, watching as Christians suffered. Now you see, for a Christian to be thrown in there meant that he had categorically stated without any fear that I am for Christ. No matter what happens to me, I am going to stand for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when they were captured, said, okay, if that's what you're going to do, here, go. And they went and they were destroyed. But you see, their life after they were destroyed was better than their life before they were destroyed. Because they trusted in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, I told those in Bible study that when persecution comes, that will determine who the real Christians are and who are just faking it. When trial comes, when suffering comes, when persecution comes, it reveals who the real Christians are. Right now, anybody can say, I'm a Christian. But when the persecution comes, when the suffering comes, when it comes one after the other, one after the other, this one seems to be over, and then right then you enter into another one. That is when God begins to sift who are His and who are not. When it comes and God begins to sift, where would you find yourself? As one of God's people? Or as one of the other people? Therefore, we have free speech before God. Now we can come to God. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus makes it possible for us, ladies and gentlemen, to come face to face with God. The blood of Jesus enables us to stand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, because we have trusted in Christ our Lord, and He has washed us clean and made us His people. And because of that, we have confidence to come and stand. You see, when I stand to pray and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I know all heaven stands at attention because I am a child of God. Not because of anything I have done, but because of Jesus Christ and His blood and His righteousness. And therefore, I have confidence. I have boldness. I kid you not. This week, I have been scared to stand before you and preach God's word. This morning, I was scared. And then somebody told me about one of the great preachers who says every morning he's scared. And I said, oh. But that was also an encouragement to let me know that I'm not the only one. But it's a good thing to be scared when you stand in front of God's people to preach, isn't it? Because then you can trust in Christ and not in your own flesh. I kid you not. My knees are shaking. You don't see it, but it's inside. If I last to the end of the sermon, it's only by God's grace. God has given us confidence to enter into His presence. The access granted. It is a new and living way. A new and living way. Why is it a new and living way? Because the old way, the Bible says, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away the sins of man. That is why they had to come every year. The high priest had to do that every year for his own sins and then for the sins of the nation. But this is a new way. Not a renovated way. But it is new. Freshly cut is the meaning of the word for new. Freshly killed. A new way to enter into God's presence. And it is not just a new way, but it is a living way. Why is it a living way? Because Jesus Christ lives forevermore. And therefore, because of Jesus, we can enter into the presence of God each and every day. And we have assurance that His ear is open to the prayer of the righteous. Hallelujah. What a God. What a God. You know, sometimes I think about all the wickedness that I did against Christ. How I used to live mocking Christ. You know, your life without Christ means that you are mocking Him. You are abusing Him. You are disregarding Him. And the Bible declared me a fool because the Bible says it is the fool who says no God. If you are the kind of person who says no to God, you hear the gospel every Sunday and yet you are refusing to believe. It is not a good description for you what God says about you. And so my life was like that. And the Bible says that one day He picked me out of the miry clay and He set me up on the solid rock and He made my feet like hind feet. And therefore I can rejoice in Christ our Savior because of what He has done. And therefore, this morning I was telling Mike, I said, Mike, I am learning to put my hope and all my trust and all my confidence in Christ. Michael, it is difficult for me sometimes to do that because I'm a guy and I like to fix it first before I look to Christ. But I got to put my hope and my confidence in Christ because of what He has done for me. And so that I can come to Him and not look to anyone else. A new and living way that He, you see, this way was not done by me, but this way was done by Christ. He inaugurated the way. He gave us a new way. And the Bible says He inaugurated it for us. Remember, in the Old Testament, it was only the high priest who could enter into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. But the Hebrew writer is telling the Hebrews that now Christ is superior, so much so that this way that has been made is no more just for one person, but for all of us. And therefore, we have confidence to enter into His presence daily. It is a new, it is a living way. And the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, you want to be with God forever? There is no other way but Jesus. There is no other way but Jesus. All the other ways are dead ways. But Jesus is the living way. And therefore we can trust in Christ. He gave us access through the veil, His body. Because of His death, we have access into His presence. You see, when before Jesus died, that veil hid or blocked people from going to God's presence. And only the high priest could go in there. But the Bible says when He died, He made a new way. He has removed that veil. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. That it is still only through Christ that we can get access to the Father. Because of what Christ has done for us. Because of what Christ has done for us, we have access to the Father. And Jesus is our great high priest. The Bible says that because of what He went through, He is able to aid us in all that we go through. The Bible says that because He's been tempted in the same way as we are, He's able to aid us. He has not become the perfect high priest because of His sacrifice. And so he's able to help us. He understands everything that we go through. All the temptations. Now, in what way was he tempted like us? You know, the Bible tells us that we are tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the same three ways that Jesus was tempted. Remember in the wilderness. Same way. And so he understands every single one of your temptations. And by his goodness, by his grace, the Bible says that he has made the way of escape when we are tempted. Guess what the way is? His word. He is the way of escape. Because of that, he is the high priest, the priest over the house of God. And we can go to him. We can go to God at any time. Parents, when you are struggling with issues with your children, guess who you go to? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You can present your children before God. If there are marriages that are dead, let me tell you something. There is nothing, except for God to lie, there is nothing that God cannot do. This is the God we serve. That which is dead, he can bring back to life. And he can make it better than it used to be. Because you have entrusted it into his care. Because you can't do it on your own. It doesn't matter what has happened. If you would entrust what is going on into the hand of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is going to take it, shape it, and mold it, and present it perfect before his Father. It doesn't matter what it is. He can change it. And so we've got to put our hope and our confidence and come boldly before him and present our case before him, because he is our Lord. He is our priest. And you see, the priest represented the people to God and God to the people. And that is exactly what Jesus does today. The Bible says Jesus is praying for us. He presents us to the Father, and he reveals the Father to us, who the Father is. Because of all that, God calls us to draw near. Continue drawing near. He said, draw near to God. Now, if God hasn't drawn you and saved you, you cannot draw near to him. Because in order for us to draw near to God, he must have first drawn us to him. And then each day we can come to him to call upon him. Because if we haven't trusted in Christ, the Bible says that the prayer of the wicked is an abomination unto God. And therefore, it is necessary for us in this life to trust in God and put our hope and our confidence in him. I don't know why I'm stressing that, but I believe it is for all of us that we need to put our hope and our confidence in Christ and Christ alone. We can trust in Christ. We can hope in him. And he says, the writer is telling the Hebrews, therefore, because of all these things, you see, I understand you are suffering. I understand what is going on in this country, in this nation, the government seems to have power over you and hates all Christians. Despite that, trust and hope and draw near to him. Because as we draw near, God gives us confidence to continue living. The Bible says one day, David had gone to fight, and enemies came in and took children and wives away. But the Bible says that everybody that was on David's side, that had gone with David, were against David. You know what David did? The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Because at that point in time, when everybody was against David, guess who he had? The Lord God Almighty. And he was his strength. He was his support. And there are going to come times when we are going to need strength and support. And we may not find it anywhere but in Christ Almighty. And therefore, now is the time to know who this God is. Now is the time to put the Word of God in our lives. The Bible says that let the Word of God dwell in you, what? Richly. Not just dwell in you, but dwell in you richly. Because there are going to come times. I do remember when I was young and I was going to the youth fellowship in Ghana. And our youth leaders were always telling us, you never know where you are going to be. So we suggest right now that you involve yourself in God's Word. Because it is only God's Word that is going to see you through. Oh man, when I came to this nation, I saw, because I did not know anybody. And I felt all alone. Guess what carried me on? The Word of God. God's Word. When I left Ghana, I was 28 then. I remember my dad. I was standing outside at a kitchen window. My dad was in the kitchen that evening, and my dad was washing the dishes. I came back inside, and I said, Dad, you know, I am not going to go away from this Jesus because he's been good to me. Jesus has been good to me. He's been good to me. Has Jesus been good to you? You see, even as an unbeliever, even as someone who hasn't repented of their sins, if you are sitting here, it is because of the grace of God that you are still alive. And it is God who has brought you here today to listen to this message. You can never say, I did not know about this Jesus. You can never stand before God and say, I didn't know. Because he will let you know of this day when you came to church and the gospel was preached to you. It is the grace of God that woke us up this morning. Don't trust your alarm clock. Don't trust it. Because if you are dead, it will go on. And you won't wake up. God woke you up. So when you rise up in the morning and you put your feet to the ground, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. You ought to give him praise because of what he has done for you. Because of what he has done for you. Draw near to him. Continue drawing near to him with a full heart. With a sincere heart. A heart that has been cleansed by God. Not a heart of hypocrisy. But a heart that has been cleansed by God. A heart that is willing to worship God. Because of what he has done for you. The Bible says, in full assurance of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many of us have seen God face to face? I haven't. But I do know that what he has said in his word is true because it has worked in my life. I know that what God has said is true. I have seen God, not literally, but how he has worked in my life, how he has worked in the lives of people. Yesterday, I was telling one of the teenagers, I said, you know what? I am very proud of you. I have seen God work in your life. Because when I came here 3 years ago, boy, you were a knucklehead. He was. But I told him, I am very proud of you because I see God working in you and I see that growth in you. Ladies and gentlemen, only the Word of God can do that. Only the Word of God. Only the Word of God can do that. And so trust in Him. Draw near to Him in full assurance of faith. Because without faith, and that has to do, and I believe strongly that this young man who I spoke to yesterday has trusted in Christ, and I see the evidence of God's grace in him. And it is by faith. Because I can guarantee you, this young man has never seen Jesus face to face. But why does he believe? Why is he here? Because his mama and daddy bring him. That's number one. But I see that this young man has the joy of the Lord. Why? Because he trusts in God. Because he has put his hope and confidence in God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is by faith that you believe. If you are a Christian, so the Bible says, continue the same way. Continue the same way. Let us draw near to God. Let us not only draw near to God. God talks about coming to Him with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, this is talking about our sanctification, what God has done for us. And when we come before God, we just can come before God anyhow we want to, not caring about God and who He is. You remember earlier on this morning I said there's no fear of God. There seems to be no fear of God. But you as a child of God need to understand who He is. Because of what He has done for you, you want to come before Him as you fear Him, boldly with confidence, yet with respect. Confidently, yet with respect, yet with reverence, to sing praise and worship unto God. See, when it is time for praise and worship, and y'all start playing that music, oh my God, I am so sorry for saying that. God forgive me. My God, look, That music just gets to me. You see, because I know what the Lord has done for me. And because of that, I am going to praise Him. I am going to praise God till I die. Now, you may not clap like I do. You may not dance like I do. But you ought to praise God. Young people, listen to me. You ought to praise God. Because God saved you. Listen, it is said, I was telling Michael this the other day. It is said that during the days of Jesus, the rabbi's disciples were teenagers. Now, Jesus was a rabbi. The only one, it is said, that was married was Peter. And in those days, the guys were able to marry at 17. You guys, 17-year-olds, don't even think about it right now. So, if that is the case, is it possible that Jesus' disciples were teenagers? If they were, look at the power that God infused in them to do what they did. Young people, listen. You give yourself to God. And you let God use you. But each morning you wake up, you thank God for what He has done for you. God has given you a home. Every morning He feeds you. He feeds you in the afternoon. He feeds you in the evening. He transports you every day to wherever you want to go. Oh, young people, when you wake up, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. When you go to school, your life must show and mark it different from all around you because of what God has done for you. Oh, your life ought to be a testimony unto Jesus because of what he has done for you. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. You see, the idea of holding fast is to press down. Press down until you master it. I remember. Don't laugh at me now. I like lamb. And I like goat meat. Because it tastes so good. And when I was in Ghana and we would get that goat, my father used to keep, you know, sheep, goat, and all that. And when we wanted some goat meat, we'll get the animal. And these animals will fight. So we will tie the ropes around their legs, all right, and lay them down. And then we would have to hold down their head because they would struggle. We'd have to hold it down and make sure that we have mastered it so that we can eat some nice goat meat. You see, you need to master your faith. You need to hold fast. The idea of holding fast is that there's danger looming. So hold fast. Because we are in times, ladies and gentlemen, that the persecution is coming. We've got to prepare. What makes us so special? Thinking that it won't come. What makes us so special? It will come. Different forms, but it's coming. And so we right now have to hold fast. Believe what God has said and hold fast so that during that time we can still say that joy cometh in the morning. I am still going to press on. Because my joy is coming. My redemption draweth nigh. Therefore, I will keep on keeping on. This is what the writer is telling the Hebrews. Hold fast to the confession of your hope. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. The hope we have is that one day we will be with Christ forever. And therefore, because of that, don't look at your circumstances right now. Don't think about what Nero is doing or whoever is persecuting you. But I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Because it is him who, when you are sinking and you call on, the Bible says he will immediately grab you and walk back with you on the storm. Holding fast gives the idea that the storms will come. If you haven't faced the storm yet, it's going to come. When it comes, you're going to stand strong? Or what are you going to do? Are you going to hold fast? The Bible says, in the day of adversity, when thou failest, thy strength is small. Would you trust in Christ? He tells us to hold fast the confidence that we have. Our profession of faith, of our hope in him. And this is based on the faithfulness of God. It is rooted in God's faithfulness. Because the Bible says, faithful is he who has called you and he will do it. God will bring it to pass. All that he has promised, You see, we can know that God is faithful because God himself, or Jesus is faithful because God himself has testified of Jesus. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the book of Matthew said, this happened with Jesus so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. We can trust in Jesus because the scriptures about him up to the point that he died have all been fulfilled. And so it's still being fulfilled until he comes. When he's coming, it's part of the fulfillment of scripture. So we can trust in Christ. Our going on, despite what is going on in our life, are keeping the faith is based on the fact that God is faithful. Has God promised anything to you? Has God promised you anything? The Bible says he's faithful. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let us consider one another. The other time that the word consider is used has to do with Jesus in Hebrews 3:1. Dearly beloved, therefore beloved, consider Jesus. What it is saying here is that you think about ways to encourage one another, to consider, think critically about ways to encourage the brethren so that they would continue to love Jesus and love one another and do the good deeds that we were saved for. The Bible says we're saved unto good deeds. We are saved by the grace of God. Good works doesn't save us. But after he saved us, he expects us to do good works. Works that will bring glory and honor to him by the life we live. The Bible says, the writer is telling them that we as the people should think about encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. To stimulate, to irritate, if you will. Because that's the same word. To aggravate, instead of it doing that negatively, to do that positively. Keep on encouraging. Now, some of you have gotten phone calls from me when I don't see you in church. And you tell me, yesterday I saw one of the ladies, she said, I have called 2 or 3 times. I never got, one time I got a reply. The other time, I didn't. And then I saw her yesterday and she said, look, I come to church every Sunday. I just have been busy, so as soon as church is over, I'm gone. But I've been here every Sunday. I said, well, praise God that you are here every Sunday. You know, when I don't see you, especially if I know you and I don't see you, I'm going to call. Because I love you. I'm serious. Because I love you. And I want you here. So we can all grow together. It is necessary for us to be here every Sunday. It is. It really is. Because the Bible says, look at what it says in verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. You remember what I said? What's happening in China? And we have freedom to worship. And some of us take it for granted. We don't even want to come to church. We have every excuse in the book. It is raining. It is snowing. Even when it is Sunday. Thank you. It's Sunday and that's my only day for rest. Who told you that? I work Monday through Saturday and I'm tired. So I need to rest on Sunday. Who told you that? You need to be in God's house. After all that God has done for you, you are tired, you don't want to come to church. Some of us also put other things before church. We put other things before church. That is wrong. You see, because if you are, I'm going to talk to parents because that's what I do. Parents, what are you teaching your children when you put other things before church? They are going to grow up to do the same exact thing you are doing because that's what they know. That is exactly what they know. So those other things are more important to you than church. When they grow up, they are going to do the same exact thing. The Bible says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging all one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encourage one another. You see, the way it is put in there, verse 25, means that when I come to church, I am not coming for myself, but I am coming to because of others, to encourage each other to grow together. Coming to church is not for you. It is for the brethren because you are coming. That's why we have Sunday school, so that you come to Sunday school. Some of us are not in life group. We are not in Sunday school. We don't attend Bible study. We only come to church. That's not enough. That's not enough. And when we're involved in life group, the Bible says that the purpose for those things is to encourage one another. And therefore, our presence is needed. Ladies and gentlemen, may I encourage you to continue drawing near to God. Our motivation for encouraging one another is because the day is drawing near. Let me ask you some questions. You can use this for your life group meetings if you want. In application. Do you frequently draw near to God through His Word and through prayer? Do you frequently draw near to God through His Word and through prayer? How would you counsel a believer who feels so unworthy to draw near to God, to draw near to a holy God? Because there are people who feel like, I can't come near to God because of what I've done. How would you encourage that person? How consistent are you in your attendance of church, Sunday school, life groups, Bible study? How consistent are you? Are you seeking to encourage one another to grow strong in your faith? Because that's what God has called us to do. Father, we want to thank you.